نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، وعن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال: كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزاة فقال، وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا حجرة بعد الفتح، ولكن جهاد ونية، وإذا استنفرتم فانفروا. متفق عليه. وقال النووي: ومعناه لا هجرة من مكة لأنها صارت دار إسلام. رواه البخاري. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها says that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned لا هجرة بعد الفتح. There is no hijrah. There is no hijrah, there is no migrating after Fath Makkah, after the conquest of Makkah. Walakin jihadun wa niyyah, but jihad and intention remain. Wa idha stunfirtum fanfiru, and when you are asked to leave for jihad, then leave. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform the Muslims that they can now migrate towards Makkah Mukarrama, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum of this, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to migrate. And eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also given permission to migrate to Makkah al-Mukarrama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon arriving in Makkah and even before he left for Makkah, was aware of a number of Sahaba radiallahu anhum who tried to migrate but were unable to. With regards to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Makkah, there were three groups. One group was of those who migrated upon the opportunity arising. The second group, who were not able to migrate because of certain circumstances. And the third group was of those who migrated, who didn't migrate even though they were able to. The first group, obviously, with regards to the migration from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, the ulama mentioned that it was wajiban, necessary upon each person who had the ability to migrate from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara. The people outside Makkah Mukarrama, it wasn't necessary upon them. But from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, it had become fard. It was necessary. The ulama have differed as regards to why it was necessary. One group of ulama mentioned that the reason was because the people remaining in Makkah Mukarrama, the oppression had reached such a stage that it was difficult for one to, or next to almost impossible, we should say, for a person to continue practicing upon his deen, and there was a great fear that soon a person may be forced into the disbelief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give up his deen. And the ulama mentioned at this point, hijrah and migrating from one's place of residence to a place where he can practice upon deen more freely, it is necessary. This is one opinion. The other opinion is that the reason why it had become necessary is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara, and it was necessary that first of all, the Sahaba within Medina Munawwara, a number of Muslims gather with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby the people in Medina Munawwara do not feel threatened. They are safe in Medina Munawwara where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is residing. And number two, so that because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one teaching deen, and deen was to be learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thereafter spread, that is why it was necessary that a person, a large number of people, migrate to Medina Munawwara and take deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it was necessary that a person migrates from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Majority of the ulama of the opinion that it was because Makkah al-Mukarramah had become darul kufr, and where a place where a person was no longer able to migrate to practice upon his deen in totality. The ulama mentioned that this remained until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah, Makkah al-Mukarramah was no longer darul kufr, it was darul Islam. Darul Islam means where Islam, there's a few conditions for a place to be called Darul Islam. For example, that place has a justice system which is governed by the Muslims, by Sharia, etc. There are a few conditions. That Makkah al-Mukarramah had fulfilled these criteria. And because of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned La hijrata ba'd al-fath. Now that Makkah al-Mukarramah has been conquered, this special hijrah, which was the most virtuous hijrah that will ever exist in Islam, of migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, this hijrah, it is no longer possible. Because Makkah, it has become Darul Islam. And number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is soon to pass. So even if today someone was to migrate from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara to save his deen, the aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being in Medina Munawwara, this will not be achievable. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that now it is not possible for a person to migrate and be rewarded of this special hijrah from Makkah to Medina, because now the time for that has passed. What is left? Walakin jihadun wa niyyah. The jihad, waging war for the sake of deen, and number two, niyyah, intention. These two remain. Firstly, with regards to the first part, walakin jihadun, that jihad remains. The ulama mentioned, and there are certain ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain narrations, al jihadu madin ila yawm al qiyamah, that jihad will remain until qiyamah. And jihad, the obligation of a jihad will remain until the advent of Qiyamah. So what does this mean? The ulama mention that it never will a time come where a person will be able to say that there is no longer after today can jihad be required again. It doesn't mean necessarily that jihad has to happen at every single moment. Because let's just take the example of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come, a time will come where everyone will accept Islam. Rasul Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will do away with the cross, the salib, and he will inform them that I am Masihullah, I am the Jesus which you are talking about, and I am Abdullah, and I am not a God. So Christianity will not yada' al jizya. And from here the ulama have mentioned that he will abolish jizya. Why? Because now there will only be two options, Islam or not Islam. So a time will come when everyone will be in Islam. So then the question there would arise is that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that jihad will remain until Qiyamah, then when everyone is Muslim, and even if today, if this situation was to come around, that everyone accepts Islam, then who will be a person waging jihad against? So the ulama mentioned that the hukam and the obligation of jihad, at certain times it may be necessary, at certain times it may be mustahab, but there will never come a time where a person will be able to say that from today onwards jihad cannot take place. Maybe at this current moment in time it may not be the case, but the possibility of it reoccurring, this will always remain. There have been certain people who have claimed to be scholars, but they were far from deen, and they, in order to appease the governments in their countries, actually passed this fatwa to say that jihad has now become mansukh. Jihad from today onwards, there will no longer be jihad. Whereas the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, such as this one, clearly indicate that no, this window is still open. The first point. The second point with regards to jihad. Whenever we hear the word jihad, unfortunately, it has a very negative connotation to it. And we automatically link it with extremism. we automatically link jihad and extremism in the same sentence. Whereas this is not correct. No one says about a person who fights a patriotic war for his country that this person is extreme. And the fighting is not the way to judge whether this particular thing is wrong or not. It is the intention. So let's just take the example of Russia and Ukraine right now. Both are fighting. Both are fighting for their country. Ukrainians are fighting for Ukraine. Russians are fighting for Russia. So on this side, we are told that Ukraine, they are freedom fighters. And those who are fighting on behalf of Russia, they're invaders. Both are fighting. Both are fighting for their country. Both are fighting what we might call a patriotic war. So why is it that one is okay and one is not okay? Because the action is the same in the sense that they are fighting another person. Why? Because the intention behind it is wrong. What is jihad? There are two types of jihad. Jihad difa'i and iqdami. This isn't a topic that chapter of jihad will come if Allah gives us a tawfiq later on in the kitab. But it has come, so I wish to just mention very quickly that there are two types of jihad. Jihad iqdami and difa'i. Iqdami and difa'i. Difa'i is that a person, his land is invaded. His land is invaded. The ulama mentioned that in this condition, the people within that land, it is necessary for them to defend their land. So, but because when a Muslim does this, we will call it jihad. When a non-Muslim does it, this is a specific amal of deen. But that's why it has a specific name. So, as an example, if a Muslim, he worships his Lord. So his method of worshipping his Lord, it has what a specific name, Salah. The Jews, they also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have their specific, so they call it another name. Another example is, we fast in Ramadan. So we call it Sawm Ramadan. So similarly, you have the fast of Lent. The amal is the same, the action is the same, but because Islam is encompassing, it touches on everything, so it has given instructions for everything. And when it has given instructions, it will also give a name as well. So when we say jihad, a person can, in other words, call it a patriotic war. But a Muslim, his basis of defending himself is not just on borders, but rather on his deen as well. It is on his deen as well. And his deen is also, we can say, more important than his borders. The point I'm making is that a person, whenever we hear the word jihad, then jihad is a very blessed amal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is so blessed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man mata wa lam yaghzu. The one who dies, wa lam yaghzu, and he did not engage in jihad. Wa lam yuhaddith bihi nafsah. And he didn't speak to it himself about it. مَاتَ عَلَى شُعْبَةٍ مِّنَ النِّفَاقِ. And he has died upon a station of nifaq. What does this mean? That either the condition and the scenario of fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arises and he participated, or he at least tells him this much, that if this amal comes about and I am given this opportunity to do it as it should be done. This is a very important point, because many times when we mention this topic, people misunderstand and they start to look around. The right avenue is being mentioned. This is why if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ended at this, that the person who passes away and he doesn't do jihad, then he has passed away in a station of hypocrisy, nifaq. Then we would all be in trouble. But what about a person when the correct avenue hasn't presented itself? The correct avenue didn't present himself, does that mean that he has now died upon a condition of hypocrisy? No. He never did it, and he never spoke to himself about it. He never even considered it. Maybe I should, maybe if this opportunity arises, and the scenario demands and it takes, then I am ready to do this. And like I said, jihad is nothing evil. What people mix up with jihad is evil. what we are presented with as jihad, this is evil. Yeah? But in itself, jihad, if a believer, a Muslim believes that jihad is evil, then he has left the fold of Islam. Because he has thereby, if a person studies the Quran alone, leave the ahadith on one side, if the person studies the Quran alone, there are too many verses that he will have to reject in order to reject and disbelief in jihad. So, let us understand this word. Jihad in itself means striving, working hard. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who work very hard in our path, we will guide them towards our... who strive for our sake, we will guide them to our path. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, most definitely. So over here it means striving hard, working hard. So the word itself means juhd, working very hard. And the direct meaning of jihad in the Quran, it is to wage war for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But waging war for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that a person just goes crazy and starts attacking people at random. There are so many conditions that a person has to meet. There are so many conditions that a person has to meet. So the point I was making was there was two types of jihad. Jihad difa'i and iqdami. Difa'i, everyone agrees with this. Everyone agrees. No country says that if someone invades your country, it's okay. You have to just put your hands down and allow it to happen. No one agrees with this. No one disagrees with defensive jihad. And jihad iqdami, a person, the Amir al-Mu'mineen instructs that the believers, they go and attack another people. So we say in English that defense, attack is the best form of defense. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen feels that this particular group, country or nation is a threat, then rather than wait for them to attack us, when it comes clear to us that now they are a danger for us, then we must defend ourselves. And that it will be in the form of attack, but it is really defense. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. That fight them until there is no danger remaining. Until there is no trial, no fitna, no test remaining. It is not just, we just go and keep on attacking. There is a purpose behind it. There is a goal behind it. So let us understand this point that we shouldn't feel about and think about jihad as is something evil. However, a believer, he is intellectual. He doesn't just hear a few things and become emotional. Many people, they engage in acts of war. I will not call them jihad. But they engage in acts of war. And whilst engaging in acts of war, if you ask them the reason why, they'll say, because they done so and so to our relatives. This is not the purpose of jihad. This is not the purpose, that to take out your revenge. That is why it's fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah, not for your own emotion. Ali radiallahu anhu, it ties in with our point of intention, that Ali radiallahu anhu was in the battlefield and he managed to overpower the enemy. There was a person that he was fighting with and he managed to overpower him. Now this isn't something, we don't really think about what this really means. When he overpowered him, that person was also trying to kill Ali. So Ali radiallahu anhu, after much fighting and hassling with him, he managed to get on top of him and the person is at his mercy. And Ali radiallahu anhu is about to kill him and this person spits in the face of Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu got up. The person, he's dumbstruck. You had me at my mercy, you had me at your mercy, and then you got up. He said, no, before I was about to kill you, I was fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you spat in my face, then I was angry and I was about to kill you because of my own anger. Now my intention had changed. In the heat of battle, this is the excellence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they had full control over their emotions and their nafs. Their emotions and their base desires. Not because someone made me angry, so sometimes we go crazy. He's in the heat of battle, he has this person at his mercy, but because the intention has changed, immediately he got up. So, a believer is not emotional. He thinks through, and number two, he is always restricts himself to what the Sharia says is permissible, and what the Sharia says it is not permissible. And inshallah, more detail I'll go into when the chapter does come. But understand this point, that what is this word jihad? It is very dangerous that a person, he feels negatively towards jihad. But we need to, the reason why this has happened is because what jihad is and many other evil things, they have been all put in one plate. And because of that, we feel that, it is something evil. We can say in one aspect that currently in Ukraine, the people of Ukraine are fighting their jihad. So if I was to use the word there, no one would feel that they're doing something evil. Because the other misconceptions have not been placed with it. So similarly, with regards to Islam, a person, he cannot think like this. Why? Because Ali radiallahu anhu, Umar, Uthman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all did jihad. Apparently then, according to our understanding, they did something evil. But this is not the case. So it is very necessary that we, differentiate between the two things. What is jihad and what is the other evil things which are mixed with it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this remains. And the similarity between this and hijrah is that a person leaves his home for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you cannot leave your home Makkah and come to Medina after Fatha Makkah has occurred. That has now passed. But something similar remains. Number one, jihad. That a person goes out for the to wage war for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of deen when the conditions are met. Or, waniyatun, niyyah, the intention. What is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the intention of leaving one's home for a deeny purpose, this has remained. Whether that be because a person lives in a place where deen is very difficult for him to practice upon, so he's going to somewhere where, or similarly a student of ilm, he leaves from his home and he goes to another place for the sake of ilm. This is also similar to hijrah. But all of these good intentions of leaving one's residence for the sake of deen, whether that deen be gaining ilm of deen, whether that be saving one's deen, etc., etc., all of these are similar. But that special hijrah which the muhajireen, those sahaba who migrated before Fatha Makkah, were blessed with, this no longer remains. And this amal is so pure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was permitted to marry a group of women. So he was given some categories. So one of those categories, a condition of that category was that they have also migrated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason is, to be a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain qualities are needed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from this category, for them to reach that pedestal, they also have to migrate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, they cannot. So this amal of hijrah and migrating, first of all, the hijrah that the sahaba radiallahu anhum did, that special hijrah, this is unprecedented. And a person can never reach that, because at that time, now we can say, we have a precedence. We know that if a person eventually leaves a place for his deen, he will eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always assists. And we have so many examples of this in history. The sahaba radiallahu anhu were the first ones to do it. There was no precedence. But there was so many, concerns, so many worries, so many fears that if what if we go there and this happens. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this form of hijrah and migration no longer exists. And the final part of the hadith, وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا, that when you are asked to leave, then leave. This part is again referring to jihad, that when the Amirul Mu'mineen says that everybody must leave, then it is necessary upon each person to leave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for jihad. But the Amirul Mu'mineen is not permitted to do this as and when he wishes. There are certain scenarios. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of Tabuk, when he went to fight the Roman Empire on the occasion of Tabuk, we call it Nafira Am, that you request people to come in totality. Everybody has to leave. So a wife, she has to leave whether her husband permits or not. There are certain groups which are permitted not to leave. For example, a person is disabled, a person is blind. The ulama have categorized all these things. But when the Amir al-Mu'mineen says that everybody must leave, then they must leave. Or when There are many scenarios. For example, the people on a border, they have been invaded, so that it becomes fard kifaya, and it first falls on the people at that border, then those who are closer, then those who are closer, then those who are closer, and the further you move away, the later you come in line. But this part of the hadith is mentioning that when the Sharia says to you that you must now leave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Amirul Mu'mineen says that you must leave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes incumbent upon a person that he fulfills this request and the command from the Amirul Mu'mineen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to clear our mind with regards to these, you know, important points, and remove these misconceptions that we have. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this is important that we learn our deen so that we can explain to someone. You know, if I was to go right now and someone was to ask me, do you believe in jihad? And I was to say yes, he would most definitely feel I am extreme. But that's because he has misunderstood what I am talking about when I am saying jihad. So, very important that we are number one, educate ourselves. And number two, propagate. Mention to those who we feel, whether it with regards to you know, this particular topic or any other topic, the deen is very beautiful. So it is important that we mention and inform the others, those who are unaware of this, so that the true deen comes before people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The hadith which we are mentioning from Kitab al-Adab al-Ta'am, the chapter of eating, the next hadith has been mentioned. It is just one adab. أن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أكل أحدكم فليذكر اسم الله تعالى فإن نسى يذكر اسم الله تعالى في أوله فليقل بسم الله أوله وآخره رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال هذا حديث حسن صحيح. عائشة رضي الله عنها says that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when one of you eats, then let him remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have already mentioned this. فَإِنْ نَسِيَ, if he forgets, أَنْ يَذْكُرَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي أَوَّلِهِ, to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning, then let him say, فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ in the beginning and بِسْمِ اللَّهِ in the end. And in another narration, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَأَوْسَطَهُ وَآخِرَهُ, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ in the beginning, in the middle and at the end as well. And a person should try and make this a practice of his whilst he's eating. Upon each morsel, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be grateful towards the food which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him. And if a person does forget, this also teaches us another lesson, that a person, when he forgets a particular amal which he has been given the tawfiq by Allah to be particular with regards to, then it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he would make up for that amal later on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes he missed a number of nawafil. So the next day after the Dhuhr Salah, he would make them up. Not because it was necessary to make them up, but when Allah has given us the tawfiq to enter a particular amal in our book of deeds, then it is very important that it is befitting that we, you know, do not allow our book to go void of that entry. So every day we are adding it on. So maybe not to the same degree. For example, someone has the tawfiq to pray the Awabin Salah, 6 rakats after the Maghrib Salah. So one day he had to go for a particular reason. So maybe the opportunity didn't arise. So let him after the Isha Salah or the next day after the Dhuhr Salah carry out this, so that this habit doesn't leave his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon these points. Subhanakallah.